superior news and issues from a superior point of view.
You want to keep ice off your driveway, but not by putting salt in rivers and streams.
The main thing we have been focusing on is like not to tell people to eliminate the salt use, but to reduce it.
Two experts tell us how to be salt aware. Plus, is your passport up to date? There's a visa stamp for Ghana for the University of Wisconsin-Superior. And Trinidad for the University of Minnesota Duluth. We'll join musicians from both schools on their first international trips since the pandemic. Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. It may be a bit ambitious to call a group of budding young musicians world class, but if they're already playing around the world, they're off to a good start. Earlier this month, students and faculty members from the University of Wisconsin-Superior took their music halfway around the world to Ghana, where they joined in concert with musicians from that West African nation. But they weren't the only international music ambassadors from our region. At the same time, chamber players from the University of Minnesota Duluth traveled to Trinidad and likewise joined forces with local musicians from that country. Aaron Aldridge is professor of violin and director of orchestras at UWS, and Lakota Villamayor is one of the student violinists who made the trip. They're back, rested, I think, and they join me now. Welcome to Simply Superior, Aaron and Lakota.
Thanks for having us.
Hello.
We'll also hear from members of the UMD Chamber Orchestra about their travels. But first, Aaron, this isn't something everybody just got up and said, let's put on a show, right? I understand this was years in the making.
It was years in the making. We started conversations of where we were going to go probably about 6 years ago. And we have a rotation program in the music department at UWS where ensembles join forces. So it's usually orchestra and choir, and then the bands, symphonic and jazz band, and we rotate every 2 years. So each ensemble goes every 4 years on an international tour. So we were supposed to go 4 years ago, and then COVID hit and everything shut down. And I think it shut down in March, and we were supposed to go in the following January. And of course, that didn't happen. So when things started to look like we could go again, we did not. This was too special of a trip to let go of. So we started exploring possibilities, and it ended up working.
Mm-hmm. Lakota, I believe you entered college during that pandemic, or the continuing pandemic, which had to be a unique experience with a lot of isolated study, kind of unique for a music student. What was it like hearing that not only were you going to be playing a concert with real people in the audience, but that you'd be heading halfway around the world to do so?
Oh, it's hard to say. It was really thrilling when I heard about the trip to Ghana. I don't know, this, I didn't expect this kind of opportunity to happen, and then just dumbfounded that it did.
Mm-hmm. And was that indeed in part because you really did go, you know, most of your schooling has been during pandemic, correct?
Right, yeah.
What's that like? And Aaron, actually, you told me about this before, about mm-hmm. individual study with some of your students.
Yeah.
Lakota, what's that been like? You know, you thought you were going to college and play in a regular orchestra, and then you have to do it on your own. what has that been like?
It was interesting. If you're referring to the COVID year, right?
Right.
It was interesting. I didn't expect that we'd be able to come together and be able to perform like orchestral pieces. I never mm-hmm. thought we would come together and have like YouTube edits for the things. And it actually ended up coming out really well, despite us having to do it separately and over the phone.
It's interesting. I'm going to college by YouTube, right? Okay. What about Ghana? What did you know about Ghana before this trip?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I didn't know anything. I just knew it was in Africa and that it would be a very wonderful and unique experience.
All right. Well, that's what learning is all about. So, Aaron, I'm going to pronounce you world class anyway. You don't need me to say that. Both as the concertmaster of the Duluth Superior Symphony Orchestra and also someone who already has played around the world. Mm-hmm. But what did you know about Ghana, and how does it compare musically with other places where you've played?
I knew a little bit African music in general is very percussively driven. And so we were able to bring our percussion ensemble, and Brett Jones, who's our percussion ensemble director, as well as Mike Fuchs, who's the choir director. It was kind of a natural fit. The strings were probably the least natural fit to go to Africa, but yet we were welcomed with open arms in Ghana. And we had the great privilege of playing with their national orchestra, the National Symphony of Ghana, and they're based out of the capital city of Accra. And they welcomed us with open arms, and we got to play with them collaboratively on our first concert in Accra. And it is one of the most welcoming, generous, joyous people I've ever met. And I've had wonderful experiences abroad, but this was just uniquely special. We collaborated on pieces that range from, you know, the classical canon. We did Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring and a few others of that. I think we did the Hallelujah Chorus. And then they brought in some orchestral arrangements of high life music, which is very popular around Ghana. So we got to experience some of their music making in an orchestral way. So it was really, really a unique blending of styles, and we got to talk and talk about string stuff. And what you realize is we're all the same. We may go at it slightly different, but at the core of being a musician, we all share that love and that passion of making and performing music.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Aaron Aldridge, professor of violin and director of orchestras at the University of Wisconsin-Superior and student Lakota Villamayor. They recently returned from a trip to Ghana for that country's International Music Festival 2023 earlier this month. So let's hear some of that. You mentioned one of the most similar part of the repertoire being the percussive instrument, and here we have Brett Jones, who you mentioned, your fellow faculty member, introducing a piece by the percussive ensemble.
Thank you so much for hosting us. We're so thankful to be here. The first piece is entitled Material Rhythms by William Sussman, and it's written for 8 different pitches of wood. And since we're flying over from America, we had to pack light and bring small instruments. So you should recognize a lot of the rhythmic ideas that are in this piece, because they're African. He based this piece on African rhythmic outlines, but then compiled them in a very unique way. Thank you for having us. I hope you enjoy. Thank you.
And that was a performance by Brett Jones and the percussive section of the University of Wisconsin-Superior. We are speaking with Aaron Aldrich, professor of violin, and Lakota Villamayor, a violin student. They've recently returned from a trip to Ghana for that country's International Music Festival. So you mentioned the orchestral pieces. What was it like rehearsing? Was there enough time? And what was the blending like? Let's start from Lakota's point of view.
It was different. Because we only had a limited of time, we only got to rehearse with each other once. And everybody was really...
That's a limited time, yes.
Yeah, I think it was like maybe 2 or 3 hours. And then we just went straight to the concert the next day.
Oh, wow.
But they were able to guide us through the music, and it was pretty easy to get through it and play with each other.
Aaron, how did you work to make that go as smoothly as possible, the melding of the two groups?
Well, there was a lot of legwork ahead of time. So using WhatsApp, I've been communicating with the symphony director and Isaac. And so he and I, you know, talked, made a plan of action, decided what repertoire we were going to do. And even then, the repertoire changed a little bit while we were there. And there's a lot of flexibility is key when you're doing this kind of collaboration. And both sides were wonderfully flexible, so we were able to make it work. But we had been planning for months. And we knew when the rehearsal, we knew how we were going to attack it. And so each ensemble rehearsed on its own to be prepared and ready to go. And then when we got together, we were able to put it together rather quickly.
Mm-hmm. I may be reaching, but it sounds like what Lakota was talking about, learning on her own or individualized during COVID, kind of came in handy here, right? Where you each practiced on your own and then melded it together.
Right. I mean, we practiced as an ensemble, though, but the two groups pieced together.
Right. I meant collectively on your own.
Yes.
And we are speaking with Aaron Aldrich, professor of music at the University of Wisconsin-Superior, and Lakota Villamayor, a student violinist also at UWS. They've recently returned from a trip to Ghana for that country's International Music Fest 2023. So let's hear a bit from an original composition by one of your hosts, and this is performed by the Ghana National Symphony Orchestra alone, or?
Well, actually, we play every piece that the National Symphony played, we played with them. So they never did a standalone piece. So all the orchestra pieces are both groups together.
Got it. All right. Well, here is a segment from one of those collaborations composed by your hosts. And that was a segment from an original composition by the Ghana National Symphony Orchestra, performed by the orchestra with members of the music department of the University of Wisconsin-Superior. Two of those are here with us, Professor Aaron Aldrich and student Lakota Villamayor. So, Lakota, does this trip change your musical knowledge or appreciation? What did you pick up that you might incorporate in your future playing?
I don't know how to put it into words, but over there, I just saw how encompassing music was, and it just became a part of you and part of the moment, and nothing was half-hearted in it at all. And it made me see music in such a more fun and vibrant way.
Mm-hmm. And I have to add something to that, because one of the things we got to do was a drum making workshop where the students were able to help the drum makers make 3 drums that now are housed in our music department. And Lakota led things off and did some incredible carving on our drums. So she got to experience that, which was really super cool.
Lakota, are you an art major as well?
Music major, but I'm also working on an art minor.
You're going to get credit for carving those drums too, I hope, right?
I wish.
I'll make that argument to your professor. I'm pretty sure I know who that is. So. All right. Well, let's go out with the entire combined ensembles of everybody, I think, doing the Hallelujah Chorus. And what could be more appropriate, especially coming just after the holiday season, even if in the tropical climate of Ghana. We've been speaking with Aaron Aldridge, professor of violin and director of orchestras at the University of Wisconsin-Superior, and student violinist, music major, and talented artist as well, Lakota Villamayor. They've recently returned from a trip to Ghana for that country's International Music Festival 2023. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Pleasure.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. So now that we've journeyed to Africa, let's book a flight to the Caribbean, which, as the January temperatures return to normal in our area this week, sounds like a pretty good idea. Jean Rudy Perrault is a music professor and director of orchestras at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Simultaneous to their counterpart's trip to Ghana, UMD brought a musical delegation to the island nation of Trinidad. They too performed pieces from their repertoire, both individually and with local musicians from the country's National Academy for the Performing Arts. And our Minnesota maestro joins me now. Welcome to Simply Superior, Rudy Perrault.
Thank you very much, Robin. Happy to be here.
So Aaron Aldridge said that the UWS trip came after their regular international travels were curtailed by the pandemic. Was that the same for you, or what have you been doing the last few years?
That's correct. Normally, I'd like to have within every student's 4-year time at UMD, I'd like to give him some kind of international exposure. And we had planned at some point to go to Costa Rica, and we were starting to the planification of all of that, and then COVID hit. And so we had to put those plans aside. And so I thought, now that we are somewhat beyond the COVID pandemic, and Trinidad, where I had spent part of my Fulbright in, seemed like a perfect the perfect storm, not only because it's such a safe place, it's warm, and who doesn't want to be someplace warm during the winter months of Duluth, but also I had two Trinidad students that studied with me the few years before that. When I first went to Trinidad in 2019, that's when I arrived, and then COVID hit, as we know, in 2020. I was able to meet one of my students there, and I grabbed him, and he did his master's degree with me at UMD. And so Trinidad was always sort of in the back of my head, like someplace where I have some kind of unfinished business, you would say, because my Fulbright was curtailed by COVID. So I always wanted to go back and meet with some of the people and at least have some closure face to face. So that was a perfect opportunity to just go back to Trinidad and bring some students along.
Right. And let's get this the political definition correct, right? It's Trinidad and Tobago, correct?
Tobago.
Tobago. See, now that we got to get everything correct here. And tell us a little bit about the island or islands.
It's just small, relatively small population. I believe at the most 1.5 million people live there, and it is truly a melting pot. You've got all the ethnics represented there. You've got from the East Indian to the Caribbean to African to European. It's all melted all in there, and they live side by side perfectly in harmony. I would say, well, not perfect. There are sometimes little skirmishes here and there, but to the best of my knowledge, it's really a very peaceful nation. They really fun people. They love life. They love dancing. They love music. They love, they like to have fun. Hence the carnival in Trinidad. It's a hoot.
Uh-huh. You came there before carnival.
Yeah. Can you imagine me bringing 12 college students during carnival? I don't think my heart would take it.
I don't think you're allowed to do that. Right?
But they would love it, but I don't.
I don't know how much performing you'd go, or at least concert performing. So we are speaking with Professor Rudy Perreault of the University of Minnesota Duluth, who earlier this month took the school's chamber orchestra for performance and tour of Trinidad and, I should say, Tobago. And so you actually had, am I correct, 3 concerts in the country, maybe a little bit more than the UWS group did in Ghana. And they didn't have much rehearsing, but they did do sort of online rehearsing too. So how did that work for you? And am I correct with the number of concerts? And
yeah, we actually had 5 concerts. The way it worked from my time during my Fulbright, I had made some contacts and I kept with those contacts. So when came time to plan the trip for Trinidad, I got in touch with them and asked whether it would be possible for their students or faculty to join us on some of the concerts. So I sent them ahead of time the repertoire, and then they sent us some of the repertoire that they wanted to play as well. So it was a true exchange in that we were learning some of their music, and then we had some of music that we had chosen on our side to send to them. And as it turns out, some of the music that we sent to them, they are actually now performing on their next concert, which is, I believe, very soon, January 25th or something like that. They're doing a concert at the theater, one that big concert hall, and they are including some of the music that we sent to them. You know, they liked it so much, and of course we are using some of their music at our next concerts. So this is really a true exchange, and loved it. We did one concert with the faculty and students of the University of Trinidad and Tobago at Napa, which is a big concert hall. And then the students then joined us on our last concert at the University of Southern Caribbean, I think the last concert that we did. So it was fun. And then the other 3 we basically did on our own because it was too hard to travel with that many more people. And, we had to deal with lodging, busing, all of that stuff.
Well, let's hear some of the performance. You had a piece written by one of your students.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, tell us about that. And it brought a bit of our atmosphere to them. I understand.
Right. Well, I always encourage some of my students at UMD to bring me some music and we'll at least give it a good reading. And I got that piece from Ellie and I liked it a lot. And I said, we are playing that in Trinidad. And it's not only good to promote student composers, but also I thought it was important. It was a female composer that we don't hear enough of. we don't hear enough music from them. So I thought it was important that we do that. Ellie's piece is called Ice Caverns, and it is sort of an experience in Minnesota. So it was really interesting to explain that to the Trinbagonian. She did do the introduction. I forced her. Yes, I did. Forced her to do the introduction every time.
All right. Well, here is Ice Caverns as introduced by the composer, Ellie Vaita.
As you're listening, I want you to picture yourself in the sort of environment that is associated with Minnesota. Freezing winds, lots of snow and ice. You're wandering through the snow, and you come across a set of ice caves as the wind howls as you're walking. You decide to enter, and inside, your footsteps echo as you see the walls are, well, made of ice, but they reflect light and they're almost like made of glass. It's both intense yet beautiful at the same time. What else you find inside, I will leave up to your imagination. But I hope you enjoy Ice Caverns featuring Christina Bach on the violin.
Thank you.
And that was Ice Caverns, as introduced by the composer Ellie Veita in the concert by the University of Minnesota Duluth Chamber Orchestra in Trinidad and Tobago. We are speaking with Professor Rudy Perot of UMD, who brought the group to Trinidad at the same time that our friends at the University of Wisconsin-Superior went to Ghana. So you're from Haiti, and you featured some music also by a Haitian composer. Tell us about that.
So I thought that we had the representation from the U.S. With Ellie's piece, and we have representation from Europe with Mendelssohn and his seventh string symphony. And I thought, well, this is me, and I'm originally from Haiti, and I should bring a little bit of my culture as well. So this is Sous la Tonnelle by Ludovic Lamotte, a Haitian composer born in 1880-something, died in 1953 or so. He wrote exclusively for the piano, but John Jones did an arrangement for a string orchestra, and Sous la Tonnelle means really under the hut. So it was appropriate for the place like Trinidad, where, you know, we love the heat and the hot, the sun. So here is Sous la Tonnelle of Ludovic Lamotte as arranged by John Jones.
Thank you.
And that was a performance by the University of Minnesota Duluth Chamber Orchestra in Trinidad and Tobago. We're speaking with Professor Rudy Perot, who brought the Chamber Orchestra to the Caribbean country. Since you were in the Caribbean, I thought I was going to hear steel drums, but that wasn't a part of either your performances or that of your hosts.
Well, we did go to see the National Steel Orchestra in Port of Spain. And that orchestra plays a lot of classical music. They do arrangements of classical music, and it's all on steel pan.
Well, you talked about some of the cross-fertilization, and they're playing some of your music. Are you going to incorporate steel drum in the UMD Chamber Orchestra or in your own compositions?
Well, the short answer is no at this point. We have steel in Duluth.
We do have iron ore, too. Yes, so there should be plenty of steel.
Oh, yeah. We've got in Duluth, Mark Aru, who is director of strings orchestra at Marshall School, who is doing some arrangements for us. And by the way, there is a steel program at CSS in last spring.
The College of St. Scholastica.
Correct. We collaborated and did a concert with them in the spring, string orchestra and steels. Will I dive into it? Well, I have too much other things to say. There are too many other topics that I want to tackle.
All right. As I said, we've got enough traffic going on in ore boats, so I'm going to expect the Rudy Perot Taconite Symphony at some point before you get to steel.
Okay.
We've been speaking with Professor Rudy Perot of the University of Minnesota Duluth, who earlier this month took the school's chamber orchestra to Trinidad and Tobago. Thank you for joining us, Rudy.
Thank you very much, Robin. It was a pleasure.
Coming up, if you're using salt on your driveway, you don't want to get it into the waterways. After this. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Now that we've visited Africa and the Caribbean, let's get back to the reality of our colder climate. Though we love the winter and all it has to offer, the Lake Superior Ice Festival is going on at Barker's Island in Superior this weekend, it's not fun getting rid of the snow and ice on your driveway. You always want to make sure you have enough ice melt, but before you use too much, keep in mind the salt you throw on your walkway can end up in our lakes and streams. That's the message of Salt Awareness Week, which runs through today in Superior, and the lessons apply every winter. Last year, I spoke with Wisconsin Saltwise Coordinator Allison Madison and the City of Superior's Water Resources Specialist Megan Hofelt. Here's our conversation from back then. Welcome to Simply Superior, Allison and Megan.
Great to be here.
Yes, Robin. Thanks for the invitation.
So, how bad is it? Putting salt on the roadway isn't anything new, and it's something we only do in the winter, though around here, winter lasts a pretty long time. But does it really make that much of a difference?
So this is Allison, and I would say it does. It does really matter. I know that in Wisconsin, we have over 40 water bodies right now that have been deemed impaired by the state of Wisconsin, by our Department of Natural Resources, because they have very high salt concentrations. The concentrations of salt have gotten so high that they are stressing out the systems of freshwater organisms, like, you know, fish, all the way down to tiny little zooplankton that live in those waters. And we're seeing these impacts we mentioned. We just put salt down in the winter, right? So can't those water bodies kind of flush themselves out and reset? But at this point, since we have been putting salt down for decades, we've actually begun to salt our groundwater. And so even in those non-winter months, when we're not putting salt down on roads, groundwater recharge is replenishing lakes and streams with salty water.
Mm-hmm. And how much of it is a problem from major roadways, or does the salt on our driveway really make that much of a difference?
This is Megan. I'd like to bring in a local citywide perspective. Saxon Creek is the creek we're sampling on, and it's unfortunately, it's one of those very urbanized streams. So there's a lot of parking lots that drain to it and roadways that it's either driving over, or there's storm drains directly outletting to it and neighborhoods. So it's receiving, there's a lot of water, stormwater runoff coming from our city and entering that stream. And stormwater is one of the leading causes to surface water pollution. We're exceeding the chronic limits of chloride. So whether it's from the driveways or the roads, I'd say a little bit of A, a little bit of B. The jury's still out. We haven't done enough research to know exactly where it's coming from.
This is Allison, and I would add that we know that salt is coming from municipal, you know, operations as well as private contractors and residential homes. And I think we all have to look at, you know, what is our role? What can we do? The city of Superior has really taken a holistic look at their winter maintenance and try to dial in, you know, with their operations, what can they do to reduce total salt use? And I think as citizens in the area, you know, we do want to be able to drive our cars down the road, and we do appreciate the use of some salt, right? It is an effective de-icer. It helps keep our road surfaces safer in the winter. But can we, you know, rethink what our demands are? Do we need to drive out, you know, to Target in the middle of the snowstorm? Can we hold off on some of those trips? Give the plow operators time. So anything that we can do to kind of relieve the pressure on those individuals is really important.
We're speaking with Wisconsin Saltwise Coordinator Allison Madison and Megan Hochfeld, the City of Superior's Water Resources Specialists. We're talking about Salt Awareness Week. So is there anything we can put on the driveway? Because even if I don't go anywhere and I just go outside to get the mail or something, I don't want to fall. That is going to be, you know, another issue and quite serious.
This is Megan, and Allison, I've heard you say this, and I love that you say this, and I think there's no silver bullet for winter maintenance practices specifically to help from slips. I think the main thing we have been focusing on is, like, not to tell people to eliminate the salt use, but to reduce it and to have, like, a smart salting or a salt-wise plan set in place. For example, we encourage people to use 12 ounces to treat 20 feet. So measure out your sidewalk or your driveway, and for every 20 feet, you can treat it with 12 ounces or about 10 sidewalk blocks. And then the other thing that we've been encouraging people to do is to switch from salt to sand at 15 degrees Fahrenheit, because that commonly used road salt kind of stops working when it gets colder than 15 degrees. And sand is has different properties than salt, so it can really help with that traction. We're also encouraging people to use birdseed, because then you're also feeding the birds or the furry little critters and providing some traction.
So 15 degrees, you're talking about 15 degrees above zero, which we rarely get around here, Fahrenheit, right?
True. Unfortunately, true.
In that case, we should never have to use salt, right? But seriously, if I go to the store, I look at the package and it says good to 20 below or something like that. Is that misleading?
I'll let you take
that. Yeah, I'll jump in there, Robin. So this is Allison, and I would tell people that unfortunately there are no truth in labeling laws around de-icers. So people can say they work down to negative 20. They can say that they're pet safe, but they can still just be salt, or they can be other salts. And I would not trust those labels, unfortunately.
All right. But for the sake of journalism ethics and equal time, I will invite representatives of manufacturers who can support those claims to come on the show and make their case. Continue.
I would add one thing. That would be to shovel first.
Yes.
Shovel, get as much snow up as you can mechanically with your, or use your snowblower. That's fine too. So shovel first, then scatter, as she said, using salt just as needed, then switch if it's below 15. So shovel, scatter, switch, kind of those three S's. And if you do happen to over apply salt, The fourth S would be sweep. So sweep that extra salt up and you can reuse that.
One technique that I do is I try to salt around high noon. In other words, right before the sun really comes out, assuming the sun does come out, which is, you know, sometimes doesn't happen for weeks around here. But seriously, it seems to aid each other.
Yep. So salt's just going to be more effective when it's warmer. So if you're putting just a little bit down when the sun's beating down on that is going to help. We just encourage everyone to visit our website, and that is wisaltwise.com.
That was my conversation last year with Wisconsin Saltwise coordinator Allison Madison and the City of Superior's water resources specialist Megan Hochfeld. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We leave you with more of the music from the Trinidad visit of the University of Minnesota Duluth Chamber Orchestra as performed by their hosts. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.